Broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right. Happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman live on your radio. Hard-hitting talk on your radio. This is the broadcast for... Wow. Time just flies, man. It's already February the 19th. In the year of our Lord, 2022, this is our one of two, and our goal always to protect life, liberty, and property, and to promote God, family, and country on your radio and the traditions of our founding fathers. Yes, indeed, we use the blueprint for liberty, the supreme law of the land, the Constitution of the United States of America. That is our guide. And absolutely, we're convinced the checks and balances brilliantly put in place by the founding fathers, what a great, peaceful, restorative solutions we still have at our fingertips. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing absolutely fantastic. We are one of the very few broadcasts that are 6 days a week. That's something really important to kind of understand and think about. 6 days a week, we tell the tale of liberty. On the Sabbath, we rest, ladies and gentlemen. 2 hours a day, 6 days a week, hard-hitting talk, always at your fingertips. To recap yesterday's broadcast, it was a barn burner show, folks. First off, we had on Chris Carlson with us, who always says, without God, we can never win. With God, we can never lose. The battle for freedom is the Lord's, but we need to be engaged in the fight. And we had a discussion of all things liberty. We talked about this Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints leader. His name is Brad Wilcox. And he apologizes for remarks that he made about black members. They say Brigham Young University deeply concerned. Salt Lake Tribune. Huge, huge blogosphere battle. Twitter users going after Wilcox big time. Wrongfully so. Brad, though, in my opinion, makes a huge mistake and apologizes. Brad says, I am committed to do better. Well, I appreciate that, Brad, but you didn't do wrong in the first place, my good brother. Yeah, we talked about in 1951, Solomon Asch conducted an interesting Asch, what they call it, conformity experiment at Swarthmore College in Swarthmore, Pennsylvania, and Asch wanted to see how many of his subjects would fold, would cave, if you will, under peer pressure and confess to obvious wrong answers. Bottom line is people do it all the time. The Asch study was shocking. So the question is now, are they going to change the name of Brigham Young University because Brigham Young was a flat-out racist? That's a serious question you got to ask. Chris Carlson wisely points out, what a messed up world we live in, man. We are seeing the fulfillment of this Isaiah 5:20, right? Woe unto them that call evil good and good evil, that put darkness for light and light for darkness, that put bitter for sweet and sweet for bitter. Amen to that, Chris. You're right as rain on that one, buddy. Anyway, a very good broadcast with him. Now, the statements that were made by Wilcox were not really bad at all. He just simply asked a bunch of questions and said, hey, why are things in the world unfair? You know, why are things different between blacks and whites? And why are things different between Jews and Gentiles? And, you know, a lot of things we don't understand, but his whole point was we need to trust God nevertheless. We need to realize that we should have a gratitude attitude. We should be grateful all the way down to our socks for the good things that God's given us and for the blessings that we have. That was the whole thrust of the talk. Almost an hour-long talk, literally 50 minutes long. And one little phrase got him in big trouble and everybody melted down. And he says we should be grateful all the way down to our socks for all the blessings that we have. And we should trust God a little bit more. And his whole focus of the talk was, you know what? Don't leave the churches. You know, you got a big problem in America with people leaving churches. They're leaving religion behind and believing somehow that they're better off without religion. And so Brad focused on how grateful he was for his religion and all the blessings that his religion brought into his life. And he said, so, you know, you can leave the churches if you want, but you know what? I'm telling you, this is all that you're going to miss. Just incredible talk, great stuff, but it all got derailed by the enemies of liberty, by the destroyers of everyone. They want to take down everybody. They're just dividers, conquerors, destroyers. And it happened in the blogosphere. That's one thing, and I expect that to happen. But I don't expect leaders of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, and I don't expect leaders of Brigham University, Brigham Young University, and everybody else to kowtow to these goons. It's unacceptable, and it's got to stop. Ladies and gentlemen, this culture war is real. I'm telling you right now, the culture war is absolutely real. And we cannot just cave at every time someone complains about us. Look, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, like every other organization that has longevity, has had concerns with racism. Not because everybody was such a racist all the time, as much as we're taught, but because we're using today's lens and filter to look back at yesterday's reality. Okay? When you were born into slavery, either the ownership of slaves, the elite, whatever you want to call it, or the opposite side, born in as a slave or brought in as a slave, hey, you grew up with a different mentality about slavery than you would through our lens today. I'm not defending their positions, folks, but I am defending that you cannot judge yesteryear's people by today's lens. It's not a fair assessment or comparison whatsoever. All right, so that's the dishonesty of it all, that our lens is perfect and that our lens is right. What happens later when females and males are so mixed up in 100 years and they say, man, those guys believed that women and men had no differences. How crazy was that? And how, man, men just abused women left and right by pretending they were women. And what? Okay, you cannot look through the lens of today at yesterday and say, hey, you know, we're going to judge those guys on single issues. Just as you can't take this word phrase out of context for Brad Wilcox. And the reason that I'm so mad about this is because people that should be defending Brad absolutely are melting down in the culture war. They're going, oh my gosh, they're calling Brad a racist. I don't dare defend him or I'll be a racist too. You know, I'm a racist. You're a racist. Wouldn't you like to be a racist too? It's a kind of an idea. We've got to stand up and say, no, no, no. That's not at all what he meant. You're taking it out of context. Absolutely bogus. Brad's a great dude. He's been so for years and years and years and years. And you know what? Your comments are taking Brad's comments out of context. They tried to do that to Joe Rogan, too. And Joe Rogan melted down and apologized. These people need to get a backbone and quit apologizing and stand up and say, no, you're wrong. I have every right to give comparisons and ask questions as I'm doing in an effort to help people not leave the church and to help people be grateful for the value religion brings to them. And yeah, there's a lot of questions. Why? Why is Sam Bushman blind and my guest can see? Why was the gospel brought to the Jews and then the Gentiles? Why, you know, we can go on and on and on with the questions. But you know what? The whole point is to look at God and say we trust him. We don't know why, but we know that the atonement of Jesus Christ can solve it all someday. Anyway, second hour, we had Dr. Scott Bradley on to preserve the nation. FreedomsRisingSun.com, and we carried on the theme, and we broadened this example to a bunch of things. For example, there's a hidden camera. FDA executive discloses Biden will require annual COVID shots, not formally announced because they don't want to get everybody all riled up. Aren't more WND.com with that story. And the FDA executive, his name is Christopher Cole, in a hidden camera interview with a Project Veritas journalist, said that Biden wants to inoculate as many people as possible, and this is going to be a fountain of money for Big Pharma. Christopher said, despite the lack of safety and efficacy data, the FDA will grant emergency use authorization for COVID-19 shots for children from 6 months to 5 years of age. It's criminal, folks. The FDA said in a statement on the Project Veritas video that the person purportedly in the video does not cover vaccine matters and is not, or does not represent the views of the FDA. However, the gentleman that was interviewed, Mr. Cole, says that his job with the FDA is to ensure safety and security and effectiveness in response to the pandemic. Cited concerns over long-term use of the vaccines, especially among the younger population. Fauci claims it's risky to take masks off of kids. Fauci's a nutcase, folks. Why does the church refuse to engage in and stand hardcore against abortion? See, all the religions of the day don't really double down hardcore to get rid of abortion. They say they're against abortion. Don't get me wrong. They don't double down and support it, but they don't really move mountains to try to jettison and get rid of it. It's kind of a not touched on topic. Why? Why are all these things happening? Why are we losing the culture war? I believe that the 501c3 status of corporations and churches are afraid of the tax repercussions should the government not be pleased with their stand for morality. We also talked about Republicans pushed Biden to remove federal pandemic mandates, lies one headline. Why do I say that? Because the next headline says this. Four Republican senators failed to show up to vote on an amendment that would have defunded the remaining vaccine mandates coming from the Biden administration. It was a 46-47 vote, but several Republican senators caused the problem. We could have won this one, except for these betrayers, these traitorous Republican senators. Mitt Romney of Utah is the first one. Jim Inhofe of Oklahoma is the second one. Lindsey Graham of South Carolina is the third one. And Richard Burr of North Carolina, the fourth one. They simply didn't show up for the vote, so we lost. So don't tell me Republicans tried to get rid of this. They didn't really. They are betrayed by their own swamp members of the party. What a shame that is. We also talked about Russia stages missile exercises as Biden says invasion possibility is very high. What he really means is he's trying to take us to war. Don't let him take us into another unjust war, ladies and gentlemen. Don't do it. Our guest coming up in seconds. I am Sam Bushman. This is indeed Liberty Roundtable Live.
Okay, girls, about finished with your lesson on money?
Daddy, what is a buy-sell spread for gold coins?
Well, when you sell a gold coin to a coin shop that's worth, say, $1,200, you don't actually get $1,200. But don't worry, we're members of UPMA now, so we don't have to worry about that.
Daddy, what if somebody steals our gold?
We don't have any gold at the house. It's stored safely in the UPMA vault, securely and insured.
But the S&P 500 outperformed gold. Daddy, gold is a bad investment.
Some people do think of it that way, but actually, gold is money. And as members of the United Precious Metals Association, we can use our gold at any store, just like a credit card. Or I can ask them to drop it right into Mommy and Daddy's bank account, because we're a UPMA member family. Find out more at upma.org. That's upma.org.
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
All right, back with you live on your radio, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, thanks for your patience. A long recap because we covered so much news yesterday. It was incredible. I'm telling you right now, we're taking no prisoners. That's just a, not a factual statement. There's not really prisoners, right? Or, you know, we're just telling you. We're getting after it when it comes to telling the truth in the culture war, ladies and gentlemen. Our guest, Eldon Stahl. He's the John Birch Society area coordinator in my area. They call him a field coordinator. The John Birch Society, JBS.org, and thenewamerican.com. Welcome back, sir. It's been a while.
Oh, yeah. Thank you, Sam. Yeah, it's great to be on. Great to hear your voice.
Any comment on the previous topic really quick?
You know, I was glad you stood up for Mr. Wilcox. I think, there's so much I guess bending over backwards, I attended BYU. I felt that at the time the church has gotten into just hypersensitivity to PR, and this seems to be an example. And as far as the racism thing, there is a for those that are familiar with the Book of Mormon, there's a scripture that says that that what the devil tries to do is to stir us up to contend with anger one with another. And one of the ways, of course, the Marxists do that is through racial divisions in the United States and try to say, well, some justice has been done, or somebody said something wrong, or they try to make it up that they said something wrong and stir people up into anger. And usually the anger is, well, then I guess you got to leave the church. You don't, don't be a member of this or that church because somehow they are they disrespect some group or something like that.
Amen to that. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm just telling you right now, we're all God's children. And I want to know when we're going to start acting like it. We don't need to divide on race. We don't need to divide on male, female. We don't need to be divided on rich and poor and bond and free. And okay, we need to stand together as children of God, shoulder to shoulder for the sacred cause of liberty. That's what we need to spend our time doing, in my humble opinion, to which I'm entitled. But I'm telling you right now, that's taking advantage of somebody because of their words or misappropriating their statements, taking it out of context. This is a sign of the times, prophesied Eldon, regarding, hey, dig a pit for that neighbor, take advantage of him because of his words. You know, we're literally fulfilling this prophecy right now with the divisions. It seems virtually everywhere. And I want it to stop, Eldon.
Yeah, indeed. That is, we got to stand up to it. That's when it stops.
All right. Joe Rogan, they told you that he got $100 million from Spotify, but it turns out now they say it was double what they first thought it was. It was worth at least $200 million, Eldon. $200 million or more was Joe Rogan's contract now, they say. Can you believe that?
Well, that's pretty good. He must be bringing in a lot of people.
Yeah, I often think that yes, Joe Rogan's popular, and a lot of these hosts are popular that they give these huge deals to, but they're not near as popular as the deal would justify. And I'm convinced that's why a lot of times prices for some of these services are just through the roof. So I don't know.
Yeah.
It's interesting to me that, yes, Joe Rogan's popular. Yes, he's worth a lot of money. It certainly put Spotify on the map. But is it really worth $200 million plus for a three-year contract? I have a hard time believing that really pays for itself in reality. $200 million is a lot of money.
It is a lot of money.
Anyway, I just can't believe that it really pays for itself. I really can't.
Yeah, I don't know what but I guess people make decisions on what they think something's worth or what they think it might be worth in the future, but it's hard to know.
Well, here's what's interesting. Kanye West is in the news, and the reason he's in the news is because he's releasing his new album. And his new album, let me back up a little bit. His last album that he released, I guess it was on his own player, right? And now he released his new album, but you can't get the new album and yes, you buy his player too. So the new album's like a couple of $100 because you got to buy this player. Anyway, the reason I'm bringing this up is because the reason he's doing this is he claims that the music artists aren't getting a fair play from Spotify and Google Play and these big services to the point where, hey, it's a problem. And they're only getting like 12% of their music. So if I produce music, out of every dollar, I'm only getting 12 cents and everybody else is getting rich on me. And he's saying his goal is to jettison that. There's starting to be a move for that. And so the point now is, well, if you pay Joe Rogan $200 million, no wonder you don't have any money for people that make music. Anyway, so his thing is called STEM Players, what is Kanye West's player is called. But anyway, I find that whole thing interesting.
Yeah, that's well, it's kind of like the left does in a way. What they do is they try to control the platform, right? They try to control, say, the presidential debate, who hosts that, or they try to control how we vote or whatever, right?
I think so. So Kanye West headline, Kanye West says Dante too, I think, or Donta, or Donda, D-O-N-D-A, Donda 2, will boycott streaming platforms. What I find interesting about this is, again, you know, I know Kanye West is very weird in his own way, and I'm not really, a fond of rap music per se, but the reason I'm willing to focus on him is he's starting to realize, along with others, that, you know what, we're kind of being played with here with a lot of these streaming services, and I kind of like Kanye's willingness to say, hey, you know what? We're not going to do these streaming platforms. It's a way to fight back. And Joe Rogan fought back against the mainstream media, and Spotify picked him up. And now Kanye's launching something. And hopefully we're seeing a shattering of the stranglehold that big media has had on us for literally decades, Eldon.
Right. Right. Yeah, that's what it's about. I did catch some headline about it, and some people, I guess, were upset that they were being asked to buy this player. But it's more about the principle too, and breaking the distribution chain that it kind of had a stranglehold, like you say.
I find that interesting. So it's Donda 2 required 200 stem player. He says, hey, you know what? The music services, major streaming platforms are not fair to artists. And I see that. I totally see that. And that's kind of why I'm saying that it's interesting about this battle. Anyway, we'll see what happens with this. But, Kanye West, get a few other big, huge people, Joe Rogan, Kanye West, a few people team up, and you know what? They might be in the run for their money there on this one, Eldon.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right. Well, you have something like that, and they can team up, and it can really revolutionize the industry.
Anyway, artists get only 12% of the money the industry makes. It's time to free music, Kanye says, from this oppressive system. It's time to take control and build our own. Now, that, ladies and gentlemen, is really what I want to focus on. You know, that's Kanye West is right on the whole point. If we want to change the game, we have got to build our own. And you can say, well, man, Kanye shouldn't do that. It'll hurt his sales. He doesn't care. He's a billionaire, folks. He doesn't care. His goal is to change the game. And you know what? It's people like Donald Trump. It's people like Kanye West. It's people like us that make a difference. We see things. And people have laughed at me for not putting our stuff on Google and all these different places where there's a lot of ad revenue. And they're like, Sam, if you just monetize your stuff through Google, you could be somebody. You know, you could be big. You could be. And my response is no, no, no. And everybody just kind of mocked me and went, okay, well, you'll never get big like us. And I've had a lot of friends in the industry say this kind of stuff. Now they're all melting down because they've been blackballed and shut down and, deplatformed and everything else. And me, I don't care. You could say our entities are little, but you know what? So far, they haven't been able to shut us down. Now, yeah, they could shut down the whole internet. But other than that, we run our own stuff, people. We partner with people that can be swapped out for somebody else should it go wrong. I bring this all up because whether it's homeschool or anything else, we're going to have to create our own, ladies and gentlemen. Yeah, we're going to have to realize that if we want to make a difference, we're going to have to do our own thing, build our own. If we build it, will they come is the question, huh? All right, when we come back, presidential elections. You got betting odds now that have Donald Trump as clear favorite in 24. Eldon's thoughts in seconds on your radio.
Pursuing liberty, using the Constitution as our guide. You're listening to Liberty News Radio.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
Leaders in eastern Ukraine have ordered a full military mobilization amid growing fears in the West that Russia is planning to invade the neighboring country. The announcement coming on Saturday amid a spike in violence along the line of contact between Ukrainian forces and the pro-Russian rebels in recent days. NATO Secretary General Jens Stoltenberg reminding Russia at the Munich Security Conference on Saturday,
NATO is a defensive alliance. We are not threatening Russia or anyone else, but we will take all necessary measures to protect and defend all allies.
Russian President Vladimir Putin is overseeing military exercises taking place in Moscow by Russia's nuclear forces. The drills include launching ballistic missiles. USA Radio News.
Let's see, if something costs less, but people are happier with it, that sounds like something to look into, and that's MediShare. Maybe you've heard switching to MediShare to pay for health care can save the typical family $500 a month, and that's huge. But it's also true that people are way more satisfied after making the switch, too. The customer satisfaction rate for MediShare is double that of the typical health insurance plan. Double. MediShare works. It's been around for more than a quarter century, and members have shared more than $3 billion of each other's bills. People love having telehealth and a huge nationwide PPO network. So, yeah, you can save a ton and like it better. Imagine being happy with how you're taking care of your health care. So if you're self-employed or part of the gig economy, or you just want a plan you're happy with, you can call right now and get a price within 2 minutes. Very, very smart use of 2 minutes. Here's the number you need. 833-34-BIBLE. That's 833-34-BIBLE. 833-34-BIBLE.
Canadian trucker Harold Joinker is among those calling for an end to COVID vaccine mandates in his country. He tells Fox News he plans to keep attending protests at Ottawa's Parliament Hill.
We're not giving up. They can try this. They can put an emergency act in on a peaceful protest. But we know we're in the right. We know that we're doing the right thing. And we're looking forward to a beautiful family weekend up on the hill.
Canadian police say they've arrested over 100 peaceful protesters in downtown Ottawa. The National Archives says former President Trump took classified materials with him to Mar-a-Lago when he left the White House. The agency saying the Justice Department has been consulted about the matter. The highly sensitive material in question is being described by the National Archives as classified national security information. Find us online at usaradio.com. This is USA Radio News.
All right, back with you live, ladies and gentlemen. Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl on your radio. Presidential elections, ladies and gentlemen. Betting odds now have Donald Trump as clear favorite in 2024. First off, what do you think of that, Eldon?
Well, that doesn't really surprise me, actually. It seems to me that people that I talk with that are, you know, kind of conservative-leaning or Republicans, they seem to still like Donald Trump quite a bit. Generally. So, you know, a whole lot of people, even Democrats really seem to like Joe Biden. So
Now, what do you think? You know, now, here's the question for you. Would you vote for Donald Trump? Will you vote for him in 2024?
Well, I guess I'd consider it. I'll have to look. He's been, you know, relatively speaking, I thought he did quite well as a president. Not everything he did I agreed with, but we'll see.
You know, I will not vote for Donald Trump. You know, I'm trying to be kind here, and I appreciate a lot of what Donald Trump has done. Okay, I'm very fair about pointing out the good that he's done. I get criticized from both sides. Some say, Sam, how dare you promote the good that he's done when he's done so much wrong? And others say, Sam, how dare you ignore the good that he's done? I try to do both. I try to be candid and open and tell you what I think he's done wrong and tell you what I think he's done right. Be honest about what he's done wrong and say why what I think would be the real answer or the differences. And I articulate why I have a difference. I also praise him when he does right, ladies and gentlemen. But you know what? I would not vote for Donald Trump. So will you vote for Donald Trump in 2024? No, I will not. So that's kind of my take on it. I appreciate that he's done a lot of good, but he's also done a lot of bad. I mean, you look at the country, by their fruits shall you know them. Do we have a better country after Donald Trump or before? It's hard to say, but as a whole, I'd say we slid backwards quite a bit there now. So if you look at the fruits, I would say I don't know that we gained a lot of headway. He brought up a lot of important issues. He clarified a lot of things. He stood for the right in some things, but couldn't move the needle in any way. So I'm grateful that he stood up for those things. But you know what? As a whole, I think the country is worse off after the Donald than before. What do you say to that, Eldon?
Well, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. What I tend to observe with Trump's presidency is that it illustrated the importance of Congress. There's only so much, really, that the president can do. And, you know, he was up against people that were supposedly on his side, but, you know, weren't supportive of his agenda for the most part. There's a few things that he pushed that I thought were really bad, actually. But it's just, you know, really we should be focusing on Congress more. If we get a liberty-leaning Congress, a constitutional Congress, that's much more powerful than getting, you know, the right guy or whatever you want to call it in the presidency, actually. Even though the president has a lot of power, you know, if Congress really wants to push back, they can and they will, and they'll be victorious over a president.
Yeah, you're right about that. And I will say this, you know, in my opinion, again, I'm not here to attack President Trump, but I look at it and say, you know what? We didn't really gain a lot of ground on pro-life. The states gained quite a bit of ground. Donald was pro-life, and I commend him for it. He did a lot more than any other president. Some would say, well, he didn't do enough, Sam. I know, but I'm going to give him acknowledgement for what he did do. He tried to jettison Obamacare, but you know what? The Republican Party wouldn't let him. The swamp monsters wouldn't let him. But again, I look at it and say we're in way more debt than we were before. Way more as a country. I mean, Donald Trump ballooned the debt. We didn't really have any serious, serious change. We didn't abolish any government entities. In fact, we created some. We didn't really move the needle on pro-life. Yeah, Donald Trump did a few things that just got reversed by Joe. So, for example, take the Escalante Monument, in other words, a big old government land grab, right? He reduced it, but then, hey, Biden just came back and grew it back to normal. So really nothing was gained. Most of what Donald did was by executive order, which I don't support. And then, hey, it got overturned by executive order, which, again, I don't support. And so I don't mean to be offensive and look at it, but I say, what would Donald accomplish if he were in office again? Well, he'll take issue on the border, Sam. He'll get that done. Wait a minute. I saw a lot of talk. Maybe we repaired some sections of the wall, but I didn't really see a whole lot done. All Biden did is reverse it. Now we have double. Listen to me carefully. Now we have double the problems at the border than we had a year ago when Donald was in charge. So can I blame that on Biden? Absolutely. But the point is that, hey, Trump didn't put in lasting change. He just put in his own ideas that got it instantly reversed. Never mind the Constitution in either case. Eldon?
Yeah, and that, once again, I think underscores the importance of Congress, really, because you can get a president that what Trump ended up doing in many cases was executive orders. But once he left office, a new president changed those executive orders. You know, and one thing that actually, you know, Biden undid a lot of things that Trump did early on, but he is not pushing against the USMCA. So we warn people against that, oh, well, Trump knows what he's doing, right? That got through. Well, for some reason, Biden seems to really like the USMCA. He's not pushing to change that.
So think about that. This is not a joke. ladies and gentlemen, we really had the number of migrants encountered at the southern U.S. border in January nearly doubled that of January 2021. In other words, a year ago when Joe Biden took office. That's according to U.S. Customs and Border Protection. What do they call that? CBP? That's what they reported on Friday.
Yep.
I just look at that and go, man. I don't know how to respond to that. That number is staggering. 154,000 people in January alone, Eldon.
Yeah, it's just a monumental amount, and it's just a criminal thing. I think there's a bill being introduced to impeach President Biden over this. Now, probably it wouldn't get anywhere until after the midterm elections, but you know, this is rising to the level of something that's seditious or treasonous to just open up our borders and let our country be just overswept with people that have not been assimilated, maybe don't have any reason to or desire to be assimilated. That changes a country. We know from history. We can point back on so many different examples of that.
All right. Anyway, that again would defend Donald Trump because he did some good on the border, right? I mean, think about it. He chopped in half compared to Biden's numbers on the border. But you know what? Again, we don't have lasting change in any area. We just have the whim of the man in power or whatever you want to say. None of that is constitutional. None of that is appropriate checks and balances. I say that the real area that we can work on, as Eldon says, is Congress, number one, because we need to hold them accountable for sure. This idea that we're going to go to war with somehow Russia and, you know, whatever, the Ukraine. And okay, why are we even there? Why do we think we need to be involved at all? Okay, but this unjust, unconstitutional, yeah, immoral war is just one issue. Is that designed to distract from the COVID failures of the administration or the economic inflationary reality that we're facing right now? You know, what's the goal here? What's the reality? But whether it's Donald or anybody else, we cannot blame the problems on one man. And I don't believe that the solutions are in Washington, D.C. I think it's too far broken now. I think they're all subject to, in my opinion, what's called dark money. They're all part of the deep state, with rare exception. Say a Rand Paul and a Ron Paul and a few others may not be. But you know what? They do their very best and can't move the needle on things either. I think the answer is to turn to the states and get great state legislative bodies that will reject federal mandates and reject and learn to nullify now and learn to stand on their own two feet as a state. We don't need to have a convention of states or a constitutional convention or any of those kind of things. What we need to do is stand up as states and demand accountability. And the only way states are going to be able to do that is if they get off the dole, if they quit just, you know, turning into the Fed for filthy lucre. And if they stand up for what matters, morality and integrity, and hey, we're going to have transparent, accountable voting around here. I don't care what the feds do. We're doing it right in our state. We're going to have states that double down and buckle up and really take this seriously. What we want to do is go to the extreme. Let's have a con. Let's secede from the union. No, those are all drastic, crazy actions. Why don't we just try the simpler things like nullify now and balance our budget and quit defending on the feds for anything except for national security and a few other things? But you know what? Why don't we get our own houses in order? And I think state by state, that's what we ought to be doing. We'll have Eldon Stahl respond to that in just a second. And then an interesting question about Israel coming up on your radio.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches. In wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, "By having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally." the solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
If the COVID-19 shot is safe and effective, then why are 20% of healthcare workers refusing to get it? If the COVID-19 injection is safe and effective, then why is big tech silencing anyone who opposes it? If the COVID injection is safe and effective, then why is our federal government's reporting system recording over 14,000 deaths from the vaccine and an additional 650,000 plus serious adverse reactions? If the COVID shot is safe and effective, then why did Dr. Geert Vandenbosch, recognized as one of the world's chief vaccine experts, risk his entire career and his reputation to plead with the medical community to immediately halt all COVID-19 vaccinations, calling mass COVID vaccinations an uncontrollable monster? Doesn't sound very safe and effective. Maybe it's time to call a spade a spade. At no time in history have the people forcing others into compliance been the good guys.
Paid for by Ammon Bundy for governor. VoteBundy.com.
All right, live it on your radio, Sam Bushman, Eldon Stahl. Eldon Stahl is the field coordinator for the John Birch Society, doing a great job. JBS.org. And thenewamerican.com, we got to have more folks like Eldon doing a great job. The number of migrants at the southern border is literally double what it was when Donald had the reins. But does the United States need to strengthen its relationship with Israel? That's an interesting question Christians are asking now. Before it was a given, oh my gosh, you got to defend Israel if it's biblical. If you don't, my gosh, you're an infidel. Now people are starting to realize, hey, you know what? The current government of Israel is not the biblical Israel we're talking about. They're just out of control. The USS Liberty attack proves the point back in 1967, and the hostile, strange, weird relationship has been going on since. So some are saying, you know what? Does the United States need to strengthen its relationship with Israel? Do we need to keep giving them money and military capabilities and, quote, protection status and everything? I say the answer is no. What do you say, Eldon?
Yeah, and that's actually what George Washington said in his farewell address, essentially. He said that it's really unhealthy for a republic to have a specific favor or disfavor toward a certain country or countries, because that would make it so that you'd make decisions based upon some sort of artificial alliance, and of course things change in different governments over time. It gets to be very messy, and that's really what we've seen with Israel is probably a good example, but there's other countries where we've said, okay, we don't like this country at all, we're gonna be hostile toward them, or we like this country, therefore we're gonna give them all these favors and assume that they can do no wrong. Israel, as a country, as a government, it changes over time. And, you know, of course there's people that can argue, well, okay, this is the country, this is what God referred to as Israel that we should favor or whatever. Okay, well, you might believe that, you might not, but why should it be our tax dollars and forcing our neighbors to fund with their tax dollars this thing that, you know, some people believe is, God's anointed country or group representing the descendants of Jacob, who was named Israel later in the Bible. That's certainly something that's probably going to be debated for years and years, what exactly that means. But Washington said we should not be having entangling alliances. So that, of course, would include the UN, NATO, all these other alliances that we're in. Gets us involved in wars and things.
I kind of think it's a matter of authority as well. You know, where is the authority to say we're going to give Israel special treatment and we're going to distribute Eldon's family wallet or my family water. What, in other words, where's the authority to say, you know what, we're going to advocate for this so much so that we're going to literally at the point of a government gun, you know, take your money so that we can give it to Israel. Where's the authority for that, constitutionally speaking, Eldon?
Yeah, there's not. There's not. I mean, we should be having neutrality. We shouldn't be having this great favoring one country or another. It just gets us involved in problems. That was a great wisdom in the founders, but we've abandoned that. Most people, I think, have never read. A lot of people never even heard of Washington's farewell address or how the founders viewed foreign policy. Now they're just taught all these things that are out of the mind of Woodrow Wilson or something, that we should just, you know, try to look for dragons to slay across the world, and somehow that's going to work out really well and not make any more enemies. We should be part of NATO, and if somebody attacks Moldova or some little country that happens to be part of NATO, then all of a sudden that's our obligation to go to war to defend them. And, you know, now we're looking at going to war in the name of Ukraine, which I'm pretty sure is not a state of the United States. Okay, well, if Russia attacks them, you know, I guess you could have military operations to get Americans out of there. But, you know, there's our military. You got to draw the line somewhere. And, of course, the appropriate line is, well, one country takes care of their own, and the other country takes care of their own.
There you have it, ladies and gentlemen. I think it's really important to understand this. And why do I spend so much time? People are thinking, Sam, why are you discussing Israel like this right now? The reason that I am is because I really think that, you know what? How do we say Israel's going to be favored? We're going to go ahead and fund them militarily speaking. We're going to protect them. We're going to help train them. We're going to do whatever to give them, quote, special privilege status. And then how do we, and this is what I don't understand, decide that Russia's the enemy, Ukraine's got to be defended? You know, what guidelines, what legitimate, I don't know what word to use here, but authority do we believe is granted to us to make all these decisions internationally when we're tampering with the sovereignty of other nations, Eldon?
Yeah, there's no legitimacy for that unless you like Joe Biden. He's admitted in the past that he is a big fan of the new world order, world government. That's what he wants. Of course, that involves getting rid of the sovereignty of nations. That involves building up a world authority over other nations to tell them how they should run their affairs and intervening between in disputes among other nations. And saying, well, we're going to decide who's right and who's wrong in this dispute, whatever it is. That just runs roughshod over the concept of sovereignty, of course, and says, you know, we're just going to entrust some people at the international level to decide these things. Well, they're not going to be anywhere better at deciding those things than the people that are local.
Government drives its just power from the consent of the governed. If you look at the Declaration of Independence, I don't see where we've given government authority to do this at all, ladies and gentlemen. We don't have a congressional declaration of war. We don't have mark and reprisal in place. We don't have constitutional congressional authority or reality for this whatsoever. And that's kind of the problem that I'm having with this thing. Look, I'm not defending Russia. I'm not defending the Ukraine. I'm not defending Israel. What I'm saying to you is, hey, we ought not be involved because the anger, the hatred, the repercussions, the blowback becomes very perilous, to say the least. And it doesn't do America any good to be there. Now, do I think Russia's right? No, I don't know. I don't know. But you know what? I don't think that we ought to be involved in Russia-Ukraine matters at all. And I think what we really need to focus on is our own country. How do we make sure we don't slide into a communist, socialist abyss ourselves? Eldon?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, we've had so much intervention in different nations, it's just ridiculous. And a lot of the stuff has come to blow back in our face as a country. A lot of countries, the people just are suspect of the United States involvement. We've got enough problems ourselves. But yeah, and if you go to the average person and say, hey, you know, you think we should go to war with Russia over Ukraine? And, you know, the United States, they say, well, why? Why would we do that? What would be the advantage to that? Is there a need for that? Has Russia attacked the United States? No. I mean, why would we spend blood and treasure on that? That's something for them to figure out. And they can figure that out.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is serious business. And I bring this up because, you know what? A lot of people say we're not going to war. You got Tucker Carlson and a lot of people mocking Joe, saying, come on, Joe, we're not even close. Joe's confident that war is imminent. Well, I don't know the truth, but here's what I know. If you have high-ranking military leaders behind the scenes pushing Joe to war, it doesn't seem to me from past history, since history repeats itself, that we're going to be able to avoid war. Sadly, these leaders have been able to advocate for and promote war virtually at every turn. And every time we think we might be able to jettison that narrative, we seem to go right back into it. We seem to just double back down. It's like, whoa, wait a minute. We thought we averted that one, and now we're going to war. We virtually are in over 130 nations, militarily speaking, and we've literally had war, not on our shores, not in our country necessarily, but we've literally lived with war as part of our, I don't know what word you want to call it, part of our reality is the best way I can describe it, for our whole lives, Eldon.
Yes, we have. And this has happened, especially after we joined the United Nations. Supposedly this was to end wars and to promote peace. Well, now we've gotten in all these alliances and things. The NATO is part of the UN, so is CETO. Other regional arrangements, those are part of the UN. But, you know, basically the United States military has become the enforcement arm for the United Nations and just to enforce their decrees. So the decision for going to war has been transferred over to the president and over to international bodies rather than to people that are elected by you and me, that's Congress. So we go to war much more lightly. We send our military in to interfere in different places with much more abandon with that. So the first thing we need to do really is to get out of the UN, to repeal the United Nations Participation Act, get out of NATO as well, not be obliged to go to war. And if some one of the 23 or so nations, I think, gets attacked or has something, we're not going to be tied to that. If we go to war, it's got to be supported by the people who elect the Congress, and that's how it should be.
All right. Anyway, I know I'm spending maybe more time on it than people think I should, but really, I believe if we're not very careful, Joe's going to lead us into war. And it might be to distract from the inflation and from the economy woes. It might be to distract from his failures on COVID and the reality there. Or his legislative agenda might be stalled, and so he's going to, quote, up the ante by war. And then, hey, while we're focused on war, he'll focus on selling us down the river there. You know, it's so hard to say what these guys are doing at this point. I don't have, a crystal ball or anything, but I'm telling you, we have got to avoid war at all costs, ladies and gentlemen. We got a whole lot more in hour two. Eldon Stahl is going to stay with me, breaking down the news the networks refuse to use like nobody's business. Who hits it hard 6 days a week, like the one and only Liberty Roundtable Live nationally syndicated radio talk show, huh? All right, just thought we'd bring that to your attention. Thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Sam and Eldon, hour one of the can, hour two coming up. We declare this nation shall endure. Donate. Every penny will help us promote our goal in the media and our lives. Every donation will help, right? And someone just decides they just got to keep calling and calling and calling. Never mind, we're on the radio, right? All right. Anyway, thanks for being alongside for the ride, ladies and gentlemen. We declare this nation shall endure. LibertyRoundtable.com, LovingLiberty.net. Spread the word, and God save the Republic.